in my heart early this morning. Heaven is home. Let us pray. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and pleasure that we have to come into this place of worship to give you honor and glory, to lift you up, to magnify your name. For you, O Lord, is worthy of our praise, our glory, and our honor. We come before you and we humble ourselves in your presence, O Lord, for your mercy endures forever. You, Lord, has forgiven us of our sins, and you continue to be faithful to your word. So we are fully assured, O God, that in Jesus, hallelujah, in Jesus, there is salvation, and our salvation is real. In his name I pray, amen. Heaven is home. You know, the word heaven occurs 500 times in the Bible. It is used to describe three different heavens that exist. Two of them we can see. The first heaven is the atmosphere heaven. We call it the sky. That's the heaven that we can see. The second heaven is the stellar or celestial heaven. It's the outer space. And we can see that too. As a matter of fact, man has visited the celestial heaven. But then there is the third heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, believers often speak of this heaven because it is a part of their desire, the desire of their heart to be there. It's the divine heaven, which is the abode of God. Mostly when we talk about heaven, we're usually referring to the divine heaven or the third heaven, which is God's dwelling place. Amen. Heaven is God's holy habitation. He created it, he lives there, and someday all of his children will live there also. So if you are a child of God, that is a promise of the future you're looking forward to. That a time is coming when all of God's children will live in heaven where God abodes. Even though we cannot see the third heaven with our naked eyes, or with the aid of special instruments, the Bible tells us that this heaven is just as real as the first and second heaven that we can see. It is just as real as you are seeing me standing on this pulpit. That's the reality of the heaven that God's, whereby God's live. You know, Moses prayed that God would look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, in Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 15. God looked down from heaven, your holy dwelling place. Praise the name of Jesus. Abram said in Genesis 14, 22, Most High, Creator of heaven. Hallelujah. So we began to know that even from the days of Abram, before he was Abraham, and the days of Moses, man has already been instilled with the knowledge that the abode of God is heaven. Hallelujah. So we are confirmed in our heart that heaven exists. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, opened our hearts in the reality of heaven when he lifted his eyes and prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. He also called heaven my Father's house. Praise the name of Jesus. My Father's house. And he said he was going there to prepare a place for his people. In the book of John 14 verse 1 and 3. He was with his disciples, and he was preparing them for the time when he's about to leave this earth. And he promises them this great promise that belongs to you and to me also. He says, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. So the Bible is telling us something good here. Jesus, his Father's house is heaven, and he's leaving us, and he's going there to prepare a place for us. So we do have a place in heaven, and they called it a mansion. That means it's bigger than the little hut we live here on earth. Hallelujah. It's much more splendorous. But in order to get there, Jesus made another promise. He says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I would come again and I would receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. This coming again, it is talking about the rapture. A time is coming when Jesus will appear in the heaven, whether it be the first heaven or whether it be the second heaven, the ones we can see, he will say to the church, come. And the Bible tells us about this event in Thessalonians. It tells us about the individual. When he says, come, he's talking to his children. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. The only ones that hear him will be his sheep. The Bible tells us that his sheep hears his voice. Hallelujah. And he says, come. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And if we are still alive at the time before he comes, hallelujah, we who are alive in Christ will rise to meet them in the meet him in the air. Amen. We will rise to meet him in the air. Praise the name of Jesus. But before this happened, God is going to prepare us. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible tells us that we will be changed from the mortal to the immortal. We will have attained a glorified body, a body that is worthy of entering God's abode. For the Bible tells us that flesh and blood will not be able to enter heaven. Amen? No corrupt thing will be able to enter heaven. No decay or disease will be able to enter heaven. So our bodies will be changed to that which has no disease, that which is not corrupt, that which, hallelujah, is qualified to be in the abode of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I would come again and I will receive you unto myself. You know, we can just begin to think about it. One day I will be driving on the freeway. Pastor Pablo will be casting a nice a foundation in the house. Sister Mendoza will be cooking in her kitchen. Sister Jolene will be on a stage singing a nice, beautiful song, Praise Unto the Lord. My wife, she would be conking some money. I tell you, praise the name of Jesus. We'll be doing our stuff. And suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And you know something? If you look around and you saw that somebody next to you had disappeared, then you recognize immediately that you were left behind. Hallelujah. We don't want that to happen. Amen. I'm going to tell you how that is not going to happen. To know how to prevent that from happening, we won't let you know about that. That's our duty, right, Pastor? To let them know about that. Heaven will be our new home. It is only natural that we should want to know all we can about the place we are going to spend eternity. Praise the name of Jesus. God's word implores us, set your minds on the things above and not on the things on earth. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. You know, so often God's children have set their minds on the things of the earth. And then they miss out on the blessings that God has in store for them. Because their mind is so involved in the voices in this earth, the things that are going on in this earth, such as work and such as organizations and such as making money. And and such as people's problems and affairs. We are so involved with the things of the earth. God says, you know, you're in this earth, of course. You are in this earth, but you're not off it. This is what I want you to do. I want you to set your minds on the things above. Set your minds on the things of God. So no matter what you are doing, God is always on your mind. Hallelujah. He's always on the forefront of your mind. Whatever you're involved with, whether you're at work, whether you're traveling the freeway, whether you're speaking to some individuals who are talking about their own personal life, whether you're at Disneyland, it does not really matter. You have your mind stayed on Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. It is good for God's children to focus on heaven. Contrary to the saying that you are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. It is good for God's children to focus on heaven. See, focusing on heaven restores our hope in times of suffering. Praise the name of Jesus. When people are persecuting us and when people are saying ill thing about us because we stand up for Jesus, focusing on heaven gives us a purpose. It tells us that, hey, this is only temporary. A time is coming when I will be in the presence of God forever. A time is coming when I will bask in his glory. A time is coming when there will be no one around to persecute me or to say ill thing against me or to slander me or to ignore me, because I will be in a place where these things will not be. The focus on heaven restores our hope in times of suffering. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians that this is the hope of the believer. Praise the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present suffering is nothing when we try to compare it with what God has in store for us. It's like a little pinch, a little mosquito bite, you know, compared to what God has in store for you. And this should give you hope when people come against you. Focusing on heaven reassures us that God is on the throne. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. It is good to know that there is someone who is on the throne, someone who is still governing my direction, someone who is governing my path, someone who is opening doors for me, someone who is laying a hedge of protection around me. Focusing on heaven tells us that God is on the throne of our hearts, that he is the one who sets the standards that would allow us to live a life that is prosperous, a life that is successful, a life that is filled with peace and tranquility. Focusing on heaven reassures us that God is on the throne. The man of God in John says this in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. And the Bible tells us about John. He says that either he was translated or he was in the spirit. He did not know it was so real, what the vision that God has given to him, or what he was seeing. He could not tell whether or not he is in the spirit or he was translated. Being translated from one point to another in the twinkling of an eye. He said this in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. After this, I look, and before me was a door standing open in heaven. You know, when I read these scripture verses here, I normally try to set myself there. This is a good dream to have. Amen? It's a good and pleasant night if you want to have a good sleep. Put yourself in this position as John was in. He says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like emeralds encircled the throne. This is his vision. Imagine yourself standing and entering a room, and there is this throne, and the glory of God was bright. The Bible says that no one can see God and survive. But I praise the Lord that when we receive our glorified bodies, hallelujah, we will be able to behold the glory of God, and we will continue to worship in his glory. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. That is a time that I'm looking. It is good. The word of God implores us to set our minds on his and the things above, because God knows the benefits. Hallelujah. Focusing on heaven reminds us that this world is not all there is. You know, sadly to say, there are many people in this world who believe that once they die, that's it. They exist no more. What a sad, sad thing to happen. Once they die, they exist no more. And have you ever heard the term a rude awakening? You know, when you see the heavens and the glorious stratosphere, and when you see the trees and the lilies of the field, and when you see the roaring waters of the rivers, and when you see the mountains, the majestic mountains, and when you see all the animals in their different kind and their different habitat, when you see all this splendor, can we say that there is not a God? The Bible says that all this reveal that God does exist. All this reveal that this was not a thing of chance. When you see the sun in the sky that shines its heat upon the earth, and it is the right distance from the earth so that we do not freeze or so that we do not burn. When you see this moon at night that reflects in the darkness so we can navigate our way during the night. When you see the stars in the heaven, the beauty of the skies, I tell you, can we say that there is not a God? When you look at yourself and see that you have lived 50 years and your heart does not stop beat, and all the organs in your body continues to operate in synchronization, can we say that there is not a God? There are people who says that there is not a God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, focusing on heaven tells us that this earth is not all there is. There is life after this earth. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus himself tells us, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, says, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Focusing in heaven reminds us that this world is not all there is. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait for him. Our citizen is in heaven. Did you know that you in this earth, you might be a citizen of Belize, or you might be a citizen of the United States or of a different country on the earth? But the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you have a new citizenship. And that citizenship is heaven, the kingdom of God. Amen? Our citizenship is in heaven. Focusing on heaven refocus us on the nature of true treasure. If you could just lay back and begin to think about heaven. You know, the more you read God's word and study about God's abode, the greater your smile becomes. Some people can't think about heaven because they have not taken the time out to investigate God. And God says, I want you to investigate me. I want you to study. I want you to meditate on me, both day and night. I want you to be deeply planted in me. like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And when the wind comes and when the storm arose, I want you to be like the house that is built upon the sand, the rock and not the sand. God says, I want you to be deeply rooted in the word. He says, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God wants us to have the ability to understand and to appreciate the true treasure that is heaven. Hallelujah. You know, we are so busy and we have been misled that treasure is materialistic. That we decide that we are going to seek it at the expense of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherever your heart is, that is where your treasure is going to be. Sadly to say that there are many individuals who are citizens of the kingdom of God seek the wealth, the material, before they seek the Lord. One individual once asked me, well, pastor, he says, I live in this world, don't I? And there is no IOU to Mr. Edison, is there? Can I go to the bakery and says, I owe you $10 for 5 loaves of bread? No, everybody wants money, don't they? I says, yes. Well, how do I reconcile my ability to live in this physical world and not let it become priority over my desire to worship God? I says, the answer is easy. Did you read the word of God? Because the word of God tells you exactly how it's going to happen. When you read the word of God, you should trust God at his saying. If God says it is so, that's how it's going to be. And so God tells us how. He says, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It means seek first the ways of God. Seek first the principles of God and his righteousness. How he go about applying those principles and how he goes about demonstrating his character. And when you begin to do this, the word that you receive is in your heart. And when it is in your heart, the Bible says that the Spirit of God brings to remembrance the scriptures. And so you will not walk contrary to the Lord. And when you walk, hallelujah, in the Lord, the Bible says that the mind of a man, the heart of a man, no one can ever reveal the awesome pleasure what God has in store for us. We cannot fathom the blessings that he has in store for us. If we would only walk according to that which we declare that we love the Lord. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It is God who will open the doors so that your business could be successful. It is God who will make a way where there seems to be no way. When the bills to Mr. Edison needs to be paid, God makes a way. My mother just testified when she had no idea as to how she will return from, hallelujah, the hotel to the airport. God made a way, even though it was contrary to the policy of the hotel to provide money to people. God made a way and did even beyond that. There is a restoration from her $15, $9. That's how God does it. That's how he operates. But first, you must take him at his word. You must look beyond the circumstances. I wonder what would happen if I say no to my boss. And she's going to say, if you say no, you're going to go. because I need somebody I can depend on? Or will I stand and say, come what may, I will say no because I have dedicated myself to the Lord at this time and in these hours to worship God with my family or with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's just what a sister did. No, I can't, because Jesus is first in my life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whoo, hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Do you know why God would say such a thing? The Bible says, hallelujah, it says this about wealth. It says a man's wealth is not consist in the abundance of his possession. There are people out there with millions of dollars in their bank account, but they are just poor people with a lot of money. Very poor people with a lot of money. And there are people out there who can't get two nickels to cling together, but they're like the woman. The woman, Jesus cared a lot about the treasury now. He cares a lot about money because he knows money is a root of all evil. For the love of money, rather, is a root of all evil. Not money. For the love of it. When an individual put money on the forefront and Jesus on the back. Jesus sat by the treasury and he was looking and watching the people as they gave. You see, because when you talk about a man's money, whatever he let go is going to tell you something about that man. And the rich people came and they gave a little portion of their large amount. Even though the little portion was plenty to the widow, they gave plenty. And then comes the widow who had nothing but two mites, two pennies. And she saved that money. And she gave it all into the treasury. And Jesus called his disciples together because he had to make note of this. He says this woman would be spoken of for generations to come. And I tell you, even to this day, I am on this pulpit talking about that woman. That's a fulfillment of God's word. The Bible tells, Jesus says, this woman has given more than all the others. She has given more. Why? Because she gave from the abundance of her heart. She gave from out, from inside. She gave because she loved the Lord. Because she loved God. Because she was genuine about her declaration when she comes to her relationship with God. She gave sacrificially. Hallelujah. Into God's ministry. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to say this is the last one I want to talk about today. I got a lot more to say because there's much about heaven. But focusing on heaven reignites our desire to serve the Lord. Imagine that. When you can sit back and imagine the splendor of heaven, and then you ask the question, who am I that God is so mindful? Who am I that God would prepare all of this? Who am I that God would send his only son to suffer and die in my place? Who am I? Why am I so important? We do feel important when the God of this universe has decided that he will not spare his own son because he loved you and because he loved me. Amen. Hallelujah. Focusing on heaven reignites our desire to serve the Lord. Listen, the man of God, Isaiah, again, was taken into a trance. He was taken in the spirit, or he was translated. We did not know. But this is what he saw. He says, in the air that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. Now I want you to sit back and I want you to imagine the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It talks about his majesty. It talks about his awesome glory. It talks about his supremeness. It talks about how honorable he is. He says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their eyes. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another. Now, you imagine, you are in the midst now. This is why it reignites our praise. You are in the midst now. You are there in heaven. And you are in the midst of this thing going on. And here is what the seraphims were doing. They were calling to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. The presence of God was mighty in that place and will always be mighty in that place. Brothers and sisters, even here on earth, as we enter these doors and everyone is in one accord and everyone has it in their heart that Jesus is the focus for the day and everyone sings the praise, this in moments like these, I lift up my hands and I worship God. I lift up my voice and I praise God. In moments like these, hallelujah, the presence of God moves in a mighty way as we feel, hallelujah, as we experience him. Hallelujah. Do you imagine the joy? Think about this much more. Here is what the man of God cried out. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, in which he had taken from the tongue with tongues from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, should we remain under the anointing? Should we remain in the glory of God? And we begin to compare ourselves intellectually, we would be so lowly in comparison to a mighty God. But I want to say something that this man did not experience. He felt that way because, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. He could not, at the time when he died, be born again. He could not, at the time, be born again. Today, we are born again. Today, we need have no guilt of sin, because sin has been dealt with. If you have the knowledge that sin has been dealt with, you just need to know that that is not the problem. Sin is not the problem. The problem is us not renewing our mind and living according to that renewed mind. We are the ones who are making decisions that we know are contrary to God. We are the ones who are living a life that we know is contrary to God. And when we should be renewing our mind and making a decision to correct it, sometimes we feel guilty. It's not guilt you're feeling. It's a condemnation coming from your own heart. It is when your inner man is saying to you, no, 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 that's not how we live. That's not our nature. This is not right in the sight of God. He lives on the inside of you, and he and sin cannot coexist. There needs to be a change. Let me tell you the kind of change God is looking for. Verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. You have reached maturity when all you can think concerning God's ministry is send me. When you are at work, you're thinking about the Lord. When you're at home, you're conversing about the Lord. When you're asleep, you're dreaming about the Lord. When you wake, you're worshiping and thanking the Lord. When you're having conversations with your workmates, you are conversing about God. When you're driving in your car, you're thinking scriptures. You're thinking about heaven. You're thinking about the glory of God. You're thinking about the awesome love that Jesus has bestowed upon you. When your mind is constantly stayed on the Lord, and all you can say, Lord, with all that you have done for me, send me. I am willing, Lord, send me. But it's going to cost you your job. Send me, Lord. But those people are going to go against you. Send me, Lord. You will suffer hurt and persecution. Send me, Lord. Send me. You will lose money because you say no to that job. Send me, Lord. It's when you make those kind of decisions, doors open. So many of us don't see these doors open because we put God on the back burner and we make those decisions. I can do it on my own. I don't say, send me, Lord. I don't say no. You know, my dear sister in Christ, if she had work every Sunday, that's much more money coming into her livelihood. Money coming into provision for her family. But I tell you something, she says, no. Send me, Lord. Send me. Send me into a place to worship you. Send me into a place to honor you. Send me in so that I may bring glory and honor to your name. Amen? The man of God said to God, send me. Are you saying the same? Are you putting God first? If you weren't, it's time for you to do so. If you're not, it's time to do so. If you are living in a manner, if you are doing things or involved in situations, whether at your job or in your neighborhood or in secret, and the Spirit of the Lord says to you, this is not right. All you need to do is make some changes. You see, the Bible tells us, it says, he who hides their sin will not prosper. They will be working very hard, yes. They will be working their fingers to the bone. They will work until their back hurts, but they won't prosper. They will constantly be struggling, but they won't prosper. There will be no peace, no tranquility, no contentment. They will always be searching and searching and searching and searching for more. They will never be contented or fulfilled. He who hides his sin will not prosper. It says, but he, hallelujah, who confesses and forsake their sin will have mercy. In other words, Lord, I agree. What I have been doing is wrong in your sight. I confess it. I take responsibility for it. But then I forsake it. I turn away from it. I put myself in a position that I will do it no more. And God, Bible tells us, you will have mercy. In other words, we know what mercy is. You know what mercy is. It is not getting that which you deserve. You have sinned against God, but God will not punish you even though you deserve it. Grace is getting that which you do not deserve. We deserve to die, but instead we get life. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Heaven is home. Let's all stand. I want to give an invitation. And this invitation is up to you. If you know that you need to make a change in your life, you need to be a renewal of your dedication to the Lord. If you need the Spirit of God to help you, He will. He will give you the strength. He will open the doors. He will throw open the windows of heaven for you. That's how God works. He will give you ideas. He will give you concepts. Hallelujah. He will give you insight. And when these things come to you, they will line up with the word. And all you need to do is step into it. He says, this is the way I'm going to lead you out of your situation. This is why I'm going to deliver you from your circumstances. If you are one of those individuals who needs a change, just go before the Lord right now. You don't need to come up. It's a personal thing. Just go before the Lord right now, Heavenly Father. I come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I have been involved in things that I believe is contrary to you. I know because the Word of God tells me so. Lord, but in my own strength, I have a problem. The situations almost traps me. I cannot of my own accord navigate my way out. But you said, oh Lord, you will never leave me nor forsake me. You said you will find a way for me where there seems to be no way. Lord, I'm open to your ideas. Tell me what to do, oh Lord. Show me where to go. And give me the strength that I need to do it. Lord, in spite of the circumstances or the threatening results of my actions, I will stand firm because you, O Lord, are faithful to your word. You said that your word is your power to set me free. Because I believe. The word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe, first the Jews and then the Gentiles. Set me free, then send me, O Lord. Send me to proclaim your word. Send me to represent you because I am a citizen of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. You know, if you have prayed that prayer, it is incumbent upon you now to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Amen? Lord, I thank you for this service today. I thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who worship you and have praised you and have fellowship with one another. As we go our separate ways, O Lord, may we keep you stayed on our minds. May we speak the things that brings glory and honor to you. May we be involved in the things that will exalt you. And may we rebuke the things that tries to exalt itself above you, above the throne of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go with God and go in peace.